Life can always use more Cedar Point. And right now, you can get more Cedar Point for less with the Fun Day Bundle for just $74.99. Each bundle gets you admission, parking, and all-day dining for one low price. That means more coasters like Steel Vengeance and more nostalgic fun in the boardwalk area. But you better hurry because this bundle won't last. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Good morning. Welcome to the Cone Zone. That's Lowell Cone. I'm Grant Cone. It's Tuesday. In 2 weeks from today, the 49ers report to training camp. We got 2 weeks, 14 days. So we got some time to kill. Today, we're going to be talking about Niners who will do better than last year, Niners who will do worse than last year. My dad will also introduce you to something you may never have heard of, seen, an ancient artifact, media guides. They're really cool. But first, we're going to start with a very important discussion, debate, maybe a discussion about backup quarterbacks. This was the most important position on the team the last few years. The Niners would always talk about, it's not about the starter, it's about the room, the collective, and they had the best room in the league. Now, they got Brock and some backups. Who do you think the best backup quarterback is on the team, and do they have a good one?
Okay. I think the guy that they got from Minnesota.
The guy who played for three teams last year? Yeah, he's good.
Yeah, that guy.
That guy.
I think he's the backup. But here's what I want to say. Is he a good backup? Dobbs, is he a good backup? For a game or two. He's not a kind of quarterback, if Purdy goes down, who could play eight games. It wouldn't work out. I think really there's something behind this question. They didn't know what to do with Trey Lance.
Right.
They could have kept him. They could have. Let's just go through this alternate universe. If they had kept him, he would be clearly the number two quarterback right now. I don't think he would compete with Brock Purdy because Brock Purdy is further along and is probably better. So there's no argument. But I think he would have been a very intriguing backup. And he would have posed problems for other teams that Purdy doesn't. I think he's probably a better quarterback than Joshua Dobbs. I could be wrong. This is just my surmise. So I think what's behind this question, last year the whole topic was who's the backup quarterback? And there was significant competition between Purdy and Trey Lance, and everybody was involved. Everybody was involved in that. And also Sam Darnold. I mean, it was a whole big mix. Now it's not a discussion at all. And I think one of the reasons it's not a discussion, Brock Purdy has proved himself, but the other guys are not that good. So there's nothing to debate.
Right. And Brock Purdy stayed healthy for an entire year. So what's the point of a backup anymore? They don't have an issue with injuries anymore. I mean, it's not Brock's issue, but it's the Niners' pattern. They've had an issue keeping quarterbacks healthy. And that's why they were in the backup quarterback business. Remember, 2 years ago, they went through four. They were down to Josh Johnson in the NFC Championship game. So let's go back to the competition they had. It was such an important position, backup quarterback. They had a competition to determine who the best one was. And they led us to believe that Trey Lance was the worst. Worse than Brandon Allen, worse than Sam Darnold. I was there. I watched it. I think he was as good as them or better. I mean, Brandon Allen wasn't good. Sam Darnold wasn't good. So it seems like the real reason they got rid of him is because they thought he was a distraction. It's like the Tim Tebow thing, right? We can't have Tim Tebow on our team because he'll attract too much media and too much. There'll be too much discussion about him as opposed to the rest of the team when that's not what we want. But it's not like Trey Lance got benched or his play forced him out of town.
No, he was a good player. Now, look, I understand wanting to avoid a distraction. Of course, Colin Kaepernick was a distraction that really hurt the team, all of his political stuff. Trey Lance was not a distraction in and of himself. He was very quiet. He didn't put any emphasis on himself. I think, Iggy, they could have worked around it. I do. I think they could have worked around it. I think they made a mistake, a hasty mistake, hasty in getting rid of him so fast. But here's where I'd like to move, because that's the background, but it's history. Here's what I'd like to give you an exercise. We both agree that Joshua Dobbs is the number two quarterback, and he would be sufficient for a couple of games. The number three guy is Allen.
Mm-hmm.
Iggy, make a case, even if you don't believe it, make a case why he should be the backup quarterback and not Joshua Dobbs.
Okay. Allen has been with the Niners longer. He was here last year. He knows their system, and that's key for the 49ers. You got to be able to know Kyle Shanahan's system. And he's not as mobile as Joshua Dobbs, but he does have more accuracy. He has a better arm. So where Joshua Dobbs is like smart and decisive and can hit all the check down passes and keep the chains moving that way, Allen is more like Purdy, where he can throw the ball like 10, 15 yards down the field in that intermediate area past the linebackers that Kyle Shanahan constantly wants to attack. So you could argue that Allen is a better fit for the 49ers offense and is closer to Brock Purdy's skill set than Josh Dobbs.
Who would you prefer as the backup between those two?
I mean, that's just all things I've seen in practice. In games, Brandon Allen hasn't played in a few years. I think he's only won a couple of games. We saw Dobbs last year in person. Even though he lost to the 49ers, we were both impressed.
We were.
He seems like a bit of a gamer, and I think he should probably get the first crack at playing if Purdy goes down.
Okay. Here's another one. The undrafted rookie quarterback, Mordecai. Make a case for him being the third quarterback on the roster.
Okay. I haven't seen Tanner Mordecai much in like 11-on-11 drills because they didn't put him in that, no TAs. But he's not that different than Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy was the last pick in the draft. He could have been undrafted. When he went into training camp, I didn't think anything of him. So the Niners have history turning a player that no one else wants into a great fit for them at quarterback. The last time they did it, they ended up with Brock Purdy. This is the next attempt. And he's kind of similar, about the same build, same athleticism. Maybe they deserve some benefit of the doubt. Maybe they can do it twice. Let's see what he's got. And it's not like Josh Dobbs, who's 29, and Brandon Allen, who's 32. Like, these are guys who have no potential. This guy may have potential and maybe as good as those two backups right now.
Do you think he'll end up on the practice squad, or will they cut him?
I think he'll end up on the practice squad. And if he plays well, he'll end up on the 53-man roster like Purdy did.
That's what I'm thinking. But yeah, it's hard to get a read on him because you really haven't seen him do very much, right?
I haven't seen anything yet, but we will see something in training camp. And we'll see some. Maybe we'll see a little more in preseason as well. Like, Brock Purdy won't play much in the preseason. He's not competing. He's kind of established. So we'll see Dobbs and Allen. Maybe we'll see Mordecai if he's been playing well in practice. And if he plays well in the preseason and teams get a look at him, then he'll be in demand and the Niners will keep him.
Yeah, I applaud them for taking him. I do. I think they needed a quarterback. Didn't have to happen high in the draft. Didn't happen with Purdy. I think they did. We don't know for sure, but I think it was a good move for them.
Yeah, they needed to bring in a veteran. They did that in Joshua Dobbs. But they also needed to follow the blueprint that led them to Brock Purdy.
Right.
And this is a similar blueprint. So let's see if it works out twice. I mean, Brian Griese, maybe he knows exactly what the Niners need at quarterback. This is the next chance.
Okay. Yeah. So we applaud that. And we say backup quarterback is not a sexy topic this July as it was last July. But it's a pertinent topic, and it's interesting to contemplate with all the emotion stripped of it.
Yeah, it's not a sexy topic until the starting quarterback goes down. Then it's the topic.
Yeah, that's interesting. If Purdy goes down, and there is no guarantee that he's going to play all 17 games. It's kind of unusual. I'm not knocking anybody. But then whoever number two is, probably Joshua Dobbs, becomes very important.
Right, and you're thinking this team is so loaded that it should be able to win maybe for a month or two, even with a backup quarterback. I don't know if that's the case with Dobbs or Allen. It may need to be Mordecai. It's a good name.
Mordecai. It's from the Bible.
It's from the Bible. It's a good book. Bestseller. Okay, let's get into the topic for the show. Let's name three 49ers who will do better this season than they did last season. Guys whose stock is up.
Okay. The quarterback, Brock Purdy. I really think this kid, for me he's a kid, is coming into his own. He has a strange confidence that we wouldn't imagine someone like him would have. He's really precise. I love to watch. I love his work. I think he's going to be even better. And remember, in the Super Bowl, a lot of people were flaming out. He never did. He kept his cool.
He did.
He has a quarterback's mentality, a quarterback's way of behaving. I really like him. I would call him cool. Steve Young was hot. I would call him cool. And I admire that. So I think he's going to have a better season. What do you think about him, Iggy?
I like that. I feel like the Niners or Kyle Shanahan treated him like a game manager last year in the sense that they were dead last in the league in pass attempts. And I think Purdy flourished in that role and showed that he can do much more. This year, they don't need to treat him like he's ancillary in the offense. The offense can go through him. They can win games where he throws the ball 40, 45, 50 times if they need to. They don't have to wear down Christian McCaffrey in October to get to the playoffs. So I think maybe this is the year where Purdy becomes more of a focal point in the offense and shows that he can do that too.
Do you think Kyle will allow him to be more of a focal point?
That's a good question.
We don't know.
They're going to pay him $65 million a year. They should probably see if he can do that, be that, because he has to be that if he's making that much money.
Are you saying $65 million a year?
Well, right now the going rate is $55 million a year, but the cap goes up 13-ish percent every year and the market goes up. So they could have to pay him a whole lot of money next year.
Oy.
65. Anyway.
Okay. Good luck to Brock. You name a player you think will do better.
Deebo Samuel.
No question. Say why.
Deebo Samuel didn't have a bad year last year. I think he had 12 touchdowns, but he really fell behind Brandon Ayuk. He's clearly the number two receiver on the team. And when he was given an opportunity to take over the Super Bowl, he failed and kind of got embarrassed, and his profile is down. So while Ayuk is trying to cash in on his cachet, Deebo showed up to mandatory minicamp and OTAs and was practicing. All of a sudden, I think he figures out that Ayuk's trying to push him off the team, or it's only going to be only one of them gets to stay. And I think he wants to stay. And he's in shape. He's in practice. He's mentoring the young wide receivers. They're working out together at like Arizona or something all offseason. He seems highly motivated. And when he's the issue with Deebo is he's not always highly motivated. Well, he seems highly motivated right now. He's a great player when he's highly motivated. I think he's going to have a hell of a year.
I happen to agree with that. And there is nothing more exciting in football than getting him the ball with a blocker or so in front of him and watching him bust down the field and seeing defensive backs and linebackers sort of avoid him.
Yes. Yeah, I've never seen anything like it. And people can say he's not like a real wide receiver or whatever, but who cares? When the Niners are at the 15-yard line and they just hand the ball to him on a sweep or a reverse, chances are it's a touchdown. There's no other player like that in the NFL.
Right.
Yeah.
He is also so exciting to watch.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's not a complainer. He asked for a trade that one time. He didn't make a whole hour-long podcast about his grievances and his slights. And he seems really happy to be on the team.
And he actually speaks to you sometimes, doesn't he?
Sometimes.
Did anyone hit you in the head with a basketball?
He did. And I take that as something we can work with.
Okay. What?
We should name a third person. I got a name if you don't.
You go. You go.
Diamador Lenore.
I love it. I love it.
The corner. The starter. He's 24. He's been starting the last year and a half or so. And he's improved a whole lot. Last year, some stats. He gave up no touchdown catches last year. That's a good start. He also broke up 10 passes and intercepted 3 while playing in the slot and outside. That was pretty good. If he continues to improve this year, he could be a Pro Bowler. He could be someone who makes a lot of money. And he seems like the kind of, I mean, he's 24. He's got a contract year. I think he's going to kick ass this year. He's that kind of guy.
Iggy, do you know him at all?
Yes, absolutely.
Tell me what he's like.
He's very down to earth. He was a fifth round pick. Usually players like that are down to earth. And he was always available at his locker the first few years. The last couple of years, he's been pretty good and he's still available. But he's funny. Like on the field, he's violent. He's gotten 15-yard penalties for like punching people. He's like got a little Napoleon complex on the field, which is cool. But in the locker room, he's a DB. You know, you never would know it that they're like that. He's so nice. Oh. And he says your name and he's available. And he almost seems like quiet and shy, but he's not at all. I love DBs. He's got big time Jimmy Ward potential.
DBs have two personalities.
Yes.
On the field and off. Off the field, they're the most gentle people in the world. Just don't meet them on the field.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because they have to really prove their violence and toughness. It's not like they walk around 6'7" and everyone assumes it. It's like, no, I'm 5'10". I weigh 195 pounds and I'm crazy. I'm crazy. I'll hit you so hard. That's Diamador Lenore. But he's like, hey, just the most aw shucks guy in the locker room.
Does he know your name, Iggy?
Yes. Absolutely.
You know, Iggy, I have a feeling everybody in that locker room knows your name, even the ones who hate you.
Yeah, I think so. But I think Lenore's cool because I don't know if he likes me, but I've never really criticized him. In fact, I've praised him a lot. So I think he's kind of amused by me. That's my guess. Not that he would come on the show with me anytime soon.
Iggy, I don't want you to have the players on your show. I don't want you to be indebted to them in any way. I want you to have a distance so you can be critical if you need to be. I never got close with players, ever.
No.
Because it would compromise what I was trying to do and what my job was. I didn't want to be friends. I have friends. I have friends who I'm probably more interested in than athletes. I have more in common with them. So I'd only generally be friends with an athlete to say, oh, I'm friends with so-and-so. It would be an ego thing. I don't have that. So you don't.
Or if I were to like beg a player to come on my show while he's on the team, I could end up being impartial to that player. Oh, he's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Meaning partial to that player.
Right. Like, yeah. I almost had a show last season with Ray McLeod, and he nixed it at the very last minute, which was ended up being great because he fumbled in the Super Bowl. And if I had this whole relationship with him, I would have had to make excuses, but I didn't. So I could say that he was a big reason they lost that Super Bowl, and it's a good thing they got rid of him.
Yeah, I don't want you to have any connection with the players except journalist to player. No other involvement, and I never did.
No. Okay.
Okay.
Let's make some picks before we talk about the Niners, who will do worse than last year.
All right.
All right. The Giants are playing Toronto today, 6:45 at home. We got Snell pitching, but we can't pick on Snell today, and I don't know why, but let's do Elliot Ramos first because he's terrific. One of the best young players the Giants have had in a long time. Let's do... hits. Will he get one today? I think that's an easy one.
Oh, absolutely.
What do you like about Ramos?
Okay. First of all, He's a much better center fielder than I knew. He's really good. I think when the Korean comes back, they'll move him to right field, but he is really a good center fielder, and I didn't know that. In addition, Iggy, this is a real hitter. The Giants don't have real hitters. I'm sorry, they don't. You watch what he does. He'll face a top-grade starter, and he'll foul off a lot of pitches, a lot of tough pitches. And he's waiting for the pitch, waiting for the moment. He's that good. Boom, home run, or boom, a single or a double to right field. This guy is, I believe, the most talented non-pitcher on the team. I love to watch him play, and what a nice surprise on a very boring roster to have somebody like him.
Okay, speaking of really nice surprises, Jorge Soler.
Oh, what a surprise. Who knew? What is he batting, Iggy?
What is he batting?
Like about 220?
Probably about 220. I don't have it here.
Okay. Here's the thing about... So what are we betting on with Soler?
Strikeouts. Strikeouts.
How many?
1.5. Will he strike out more than 1.5 times today? July 7th, he struck out no times. So he's due.
I'm going to say over.
Yeah.
So
here's the thing with Soler. Explain it.
Yeah. There's a book on him. Even a layperson like me, I can see the book. He stands back in the box because he's big and he wants to extend over the plate and get the full power because he's a home run hitter if he can get a high pitch right over the plate. He cannot reach the pitch low and outside. That is the strikeout pitch, and every team in the major leagues has that book on him, and he knows they have that book on him, and he can't adjust. Watch tonight, because I'm going to be watching. You'll see they keep pounding him low and away, and sometimes he swings it, sometimes, many times, at pitches out of the strike zone. And then he walks away like Brandon Belt.
Like Brandon Belt. Oof, with the slumped shoulders?
Yeah.
Matt Chapman, he's hitting a solid something or other. How about hits for Matt Chapman? 1.5. Will he get 1.5 more or less?
Less.
What do you think of Chapman as a hitter?
Okay. I think he's very tense in the batter's box. Very tense. If he gets a mistake, if a pitcher throws a mistake, he has power and he can do well, but he's really a very low average hitter. And I know all hitters are low average these days, which is very strange in baseball, but he's not dependable. He strikes out. He always seems to be in 0-1, 0-2 counts, and he hits a lot of ground balls, you know, that are hard, but you can throw them out. On the other hand, what a fielder, Iggy. I got to say, he's a gorgeous fielder, and I love to watch him play. But as a hitter, he's a 240 hitter. When I grew up, a 240 hitter was Bupkis. Nothing.
Now these days, if you're hitting 240, you're probably an all-star. All right. Last one on the other team, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., half a hit. Will he get one today? Vladdy.
Yeah, Vladdy. Vladdy Jr. Yeah, sure.
Sure. Okay, let's submit the entry. Go for the flex. Submit the entry. Let's see if I've won any entries recently. No. Okay, well, maybe this one will win. If you want to win on Sleeper, use the promo code COHN or the QR code there and get a $100 deposit match on your first deposit. All right, back to our topic from earlier. Niners who will do worse than last season. Three of them. You go first. I'll go second.
Okay. Trent Williams.
Trent Williams.
I'll say why.
Mm-hmm.
Iggy, he's old. I mean, he's a great player, and he seems to be quite a nice man. So this is nothing personal. He misses games. When he misses games, they're up the creek because he's that good and that important. I expect him only to miss more games and to be hurt a little more. I think although he's so essential to that team, he's on the downward slope now. So I think he will be more vulnerable, and they'll have to patch together that left side of that line more than they have in the past. Do I seem harsh in what I'm saying?
It seems realistic. He's 36, and he's been missing a couple games a year since he was 25. It's going to happen eventually. It happened to Eric Armstead, and he was 30. So, yeah, I mean, eventually it's the injury with Trent Williams isn't going to be a high ankle sprain. It's going to be like something chronic, plantar fasciitis or whatever, tendonitis. And it's going to linger, and it's going to, even when he's healthy and on the field, it's bothering him. It's either going to be this year or next year. I mean, Joe Staley didn't make it this long. So, yeah, I mean, the odds are it's going to be Trent. And if it is, they're in trouble.
Yeah, and I want to be very clear, Trent, you probably won't watch this, but someone will say, did you hear what Grant said about you? We really admire you. We hope you do well. It's nothing like that. And we're saying you're a great player, a Hall of Fame player. We just honestly think that you're a little more vulnerable and you may not play as many games. And take it for what it's worth.
Yeah. Okay. Another one. I'll go. The wide receiver who doesn't like his contract and wants a new deal.
I want to say something right here. We promised Nan, who was one of our greatest, most faithful viewers, that we wouldn't mention that name. So this is the name that...
Life can always use more Cedar Point. And right now, you can get more Cedar Point for less with the Fun Day Bundle for just $74.99. Each bundle gets you admission, parking, and all-day dining for one low price. That means more coasters like Steel Vengeance and more nostalgic fun in the boardwalk area. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
That cannot be mentioned.
Yeah.
Because I promise.
I'm not talking about him directly. He's just fits the criteria.
Yeah.
I don't think.
Number 11. We'll call him number 11.
Yeah. Yeah. The wide receiver. He is unhappy. He's not in camp. Last year to me could have been an aberration. It was by far his best year. He averaged almost 18 yards a catch. He never did anything close to that earlier in his career. And now he's going to have an abbreviated or no off season. I think he's coming back to earth and having a good, not great season.
I agree with you. And I would add, he's not thinking about football.
No.
He's thinking about a lot of other things, money, posture, getting over on the team, establishing a national profile, perhaps how he's viewed by other teams. There's a lot going on in that young mind, and I don't think it's helpful. I don't think Bosa ever went through that. He was quiet. They worked it out. He came and he played. Not as well as he should have, but he came and he played. I think this kid, number 11, is in for a bit of a surprise.
Agree. Okay, how about a third one? 49.
Well, I do have a 49er, okay. Not a player.
Okay.
I feel Kyle Shanahan will not have as good a season coming up as he did last season. Oh, Lowell is a Kyle hater, blah, blah. Not a Kyle hater. I never met the guy. Chances are I'd be charmed by him. But he went to the Super Bowl last season. It's very hard to lose it and go back to the Super Bowl. Iggy, hasn't that been your experience?
Absolutely. I look at the Eagles last year. They lost the Super Bowl and they started off very good, and then they lost six of their last seven games and completely collapsed. Happens.
Yeah, and that's a good outfit with a good coaching staff.
Yes.
So
yes, now the Chiefs lost the Super Bowl and then didn't make the Super Bowl the next year either.
Yeah. It's hard to do. There's a lingering, and I think it's a lingering loss of faith in each other and in the coach. A lingering, oh my God, is this going to happen again? oh my God, do we have to work this hard and still not do it again? I think it's hard. So I think Kyle, oh, he'll make the playoffs. I mean, there's no question about that. It'll be hard to go back to the Super Bowl. So he's my third 49er who will have a worse season now than last season.
I love the way you put that. A lingering loss of faith in the coach and each other.
Yes.
Like the Lions don't have that yet because they're still an up-and-coming team that's improving. But if they get to the Super Bowl and lose, they'll have the same feeling.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
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 Iggy, tell me about the Rams. Have they gone to a Super Bowl and lost?
They went to a Super Bowl with Jared Goff and lost and took a major step back and had to get a new quarterback. And then they went to Super Bowl and won.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's very hard.
Yeah. I think the only teams that have done it or they were teams from like the 70s. The Dolphins and the Cowboys did it in the early 70s.
Now, the Niners in their earlier phase never had to do it because they always won the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah, but even the Niners, I mean, they won the Super Bowl in 81 and didn't go back in 82. They won the Super Bowl in 84 and didn't go back in 85. It's not easy to do.
Not easy to do.
No, they won it in 94 and didn't go back in 85.
There's a lot of talented teams in the NFC. And Iggy, let's name a few. I'm not saying they're better than the 49ers, but they can challenge them. The Rams, Green Bay.
Detroit. Philly.
Philly, for sure.
Those ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there could be some other team that improves. I mean, a lot of times there's one team that improves quickly in the NFL. So,
yeah.
Those are the groups. Those are the teams.
I think it would be the Chargers, but they're in the AFC.
Sure. With Kyle, like, as good as he is, as good as the team is, it took them 4 years to get back to the Super Bowl after they lost the first time.
Yeah.
A lot. And to make it to the Super Bowl last year, they had to come from 17 down in the second half against the Lions. That one long pass had to hit that Lions DB in the face and then bounce off his face into Ayuk's hands. Like, a lot had to go their way just to make it to the Super Bowl. We'll see if it goes their way this year.
And Iggy, Jim Harbaugh, who is a hell of a coach, he never made it back.
No.
No, it's very hard.
Pete Carroll lost that Super Bowl and then never made it back.
You know, Pete was interesting. He lost that Super Bowl, and every year he seemed to decline.
Yep.
He became a less than mediocre coach. Mm-hmm. By the end, what he was a gum-chewing clown on the sideline.
Well put.
Ten
years ago, he seemed like the best coach in the league.
Yeah.
Yeah. Better than Harbaugh. Now it's like not even close.
It's interesting how Belichick and Pete Carroll, no one wants to go near them.
No. Goodbye.
It's like your era is over. It's for younger people now.
Yeah. Your sell-by date is past.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know who's no longer a young coach? Kyle.
How old is he?
44. He's right in the middle. Kind of interesting.
Iggy, here's one. We have this other topic, but I got nothing to do today. I'm in no hurry.
Sure.
If Kyle were to stop right now coaching, he decides he wants to go to Tibet and meditate for the next 10 years. He stops right now. What's his legacy?
Oh, I love that question. I mean, a lot of people think he's a great coach, right? So if he were a great coach and he stopped right now, he'd be a Hall of Famer. But the reality is he would not be a Hall of Famer. His legacy would be that he was a very promising coach who was considered maybe the best offensive coach or the coach with the best offensive system that could be duplicated. But when he had his opportunities to become like the best coach, he missed it 3 times. And the way you got to hear about the way he blew it. Like that's his legacy. You got to hear about the different ways he lost Super Bowls right now.
Now, remember, we're saying if he were to stop now, he could win the Super Bowl. in the upcoming season. We're just talking about a snapshot in time. But so far, Iggy, he's like a really good heavyweight fighter who fights for the championship against Ali or Joe Lewis three times and gets knocked out three times. He can't make it. Liston, Sonny Liston knocks him out.
Yeah, that's right. But they were up on the cards in the fifth round.
They were. They were doing good through five rounds and six rounds. But when it got serious, right?
When they got stopped in the 11th round, they were, you know, it was close. And they can tell themselves if they just get one more opportunity, they'll win. Or maybe that one, the one judge screwed them. Or they should have won.
No. They got stopped in the 11th round. Nothing to do with the judge. The referee stopped the fight too soon.
That's right.
I
wouldn't stop it for Mahomes. Yeah.
Hey, there's one other thing we haven't talked about.
Sure.
Is there any other player on the 49ers who's not going to get better and not going to get... I got excited. I'm sorry. Is there any other player who's not going to get better, not going to get worse, and it's a push? I got a player.
Like someone who's just the symbol of consistency. You can just count on them to do the same freaking thing every year.
Yeah.
Who?
Kittle.
I like that.
You
go with that. Give me your reasoning.
Okay. Kittle is a hell of a tight end.
Yeah.
He's a pleasure to watch. He works hard, except for Hi George. that was bad. He has great hands. He's a great blocker. I think he will continue to play at that level. He won't go down this year, but he won't go up. He'll be the same fabulous tight end that he is. He's playing at his potential now.
I agree. He'll give you 60 to 70 catches for 800 to 1,000 yards and five or six touchdowns. He'll give you that every year. He's 31. He'll probably give you that when he's 35.
Yeah.
And one of the things that are interesting about tight ends, it seems like with wide receivers, once they hit 30, they don't run as fast anymore. They're not quite as good. But tight ends, they can be effective until they're 35, 36, because they're still 6'5". They still can catch touchdown passes in the red zone. They still can block. So, yeah, absolutely. George Kittle is a guy that I wanted to trade him 2 years ago, but I was wrong. And it looks like he's going to be able to maintain this level of production for a while, even though he was playing through injuries last year.
So shout out to you, George. Really, shout out. Yeah.
Yeah. Hi, George.
Hi, George.
Hey, when Kittle comes into a press conference, every time he'll walk in and then he'll look at the media and he'll go, howdy. What do you think he would say if I said, hi, George, right after he said howdy?
He wouldn't get it or he'd ignore it.
I think he'd get it.
I don't know how bright he is. Is he?
I think he's bright. And I think that Hi George thing probably is a sore spot for him.
It should be. Iggy, I'm sorry, George. You know, it's a Super Bowl. You're not screwing around and you're not trying to make friends and influence people at that time.
Hi, George. A couple weeks ago, Christian McCaffrey had an interview after he signed his extension, and Larry Kruger was there. We were talking about this on the show, but me and Larry, he was like, hey, Christian, congratulations. So, you know, you fumbled in the Super Bowl. I would imagine that's really stuck with you this offseason. Like, how are you sort of coping with that? It was like, damn, Larry, that's... and Christian was like, yeah, it's in the past. I don't think about it anymore. Jesus.
It's so, he didn't like it, right?
No, Larry really rubbed it in, and I kind of liked Larry better afterward.
But you liked Larry a lot. How could you like him?
I do, but after that, I was like, I didn't know you had it in you. That was great. That was something my dad would have done. So, Christian,
I would have waited. I would have waited maybe 5 minutes. I wouldn't have kicked him in the testicles.
So,
right
Christian,
away.
Big day for you. Your parents are here. Your wife's here. Let's talk about that fumble.
I didn't know great. Larry did that. Hats off to Larry.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, Dad, why don't you tell people, why don't you show people what a media guide is?
Let me get a little preamble. Today we have audio visual because, you know, there's not a lot going on. So I spoke to
you. Yeah, if you're listening in podcast form, my dad's going to be holding some things up to the camera that you can't see, but I'll try to describe
media guides.
It.
So what I want to tell you is this. Up until recent times, and Iggy would know better than I do because I retired and they were still doing them. Every team in every sport had a media guide. It's a little booklet that they tried to make look very nice. It had the rosters, the coaches. It had the schedule and all the history of the team and every statistic you could imagine. So remember, this was before the internet. And so all of us would be sitting in the press box with our little media guides looking things up. I'm going to surprise you. The most beautiful media guides, and I consider them works of art, were the Oakland A's. When Walter Haas owned that team and actually put money into it and won championships, they had the most gorgeous media guides. The Niners had nice ones. This is a Niners show, so I'm not going to show A's. I'll show the Niners. So you know I'm an idiot technologically, so bear with me as I try to get this on the screen. I pick six. This is the 1983 cover of their media guide. So, Iggy, let me know.
Pull it back a little bit. Pull it back a little bit. Pull it back. Okay, there you go. There you go. There you go.
So you all know that that's Ronnie Lott. So Hall of Fame player, wonderful guy. And that's the cover of their little, it was a little thing, a little media guide.
He's backpedaling. He's playing corner. This is before he moved to free safety, 1983.
Cornerback, 1983.
Yeah.
Now, when I got my media guides, had I thought about it, I could have said, oh, if I keep them in pristine shape, I could sell them and make a lot of money. I never thought about it. These were working books. So I have notes in them and underlinings and all that. So they're probably not worth anything, but they're worth something to me.
Yeah, that book is 41 years old.
Yeah.
It's older than me.
It's here is 1997. Who's on the cover, guys? Well, hold on.
87. I'm doing this. 87.
I'm an idiot. 87.
87. Pull it back. Pull it back. There you go. Looks like Joe Montana to me, Dad.
I think he was kind of important.
He was big in 1987.
So there's the cover of their 87 media guide. Joe throwing a pass, the little towel on his waist, and the official right behind him.
Look at how big his hands are. The yes, ball is like resting on his fingertips. His hands are engulfing the freaking, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what Steve Young always said, that he wished he had hands like Joe.
Jeez.
Okay. Next. And this will show you how important certain people are. 1989. Look who's on the cover.
Ooh, that's a famous one. Montana and Rice.
Montana 89. And Rice. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
That's a beautiful cover. Because it's not just Montana. It's these two great Hall of Fame players. And there's emotion and affection.
Yeah. Rice is hitting Montana on the head and Montana's looking back at him. This is the first year of Seifert, I believe. Walsh had just retired.
Yeah. And it's a beauty. And it means we love being together and we love being 49ers.
Yes.
It's a really effective cover.
They have this cover hanging in the Niners media room. Big one.
Well, I love it. Okay. Yeah. This is 1991. Look who's on the cover.
Cherry looking like a superhero.
And Iggy, that might be a drawing.
Definitely a drawing. I like that.
Yeah, I mean.
Maybe Scott Cohn did it.
Scott Cohn, my nephew, who's a wonderful artist. Anyway, there's Jerry. So you've seen Jerry twice and Joe twice.
Yeah. At this point, in 1991, Jerry might be the best athlete in the world, along with Michael Jordan.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. This is 1992. Look who's on the cover.
Joe and his big hands again.
Yeah. Do you understand what Joe, if you people never saw Joe play, if you look at these media guides, he was the face of the 49ers.
Yeah. It's like looking at Greek gods. You know what I mean? This was Adonis. This was Achilles right here, you know?
And Iggy, look at his eyes.
Yeah.
His eyes are so fixed on where he wants to throw.
Yeah. Definitely. Absolutely.
Okay. So that's 92. Now watch this. This is 93. Who's this?
Oh, See you, Joe.
See you, Joe.
See you, Joe.
So now it's literally the changing of the gods, not of the guards, of the gods. Now 16 is out and 8 is in. And that's the 1993 book.
That's so
And there you are. You see Steve. What does it tell you, the position he's in? He's in charge.
He's under center. Yeah, you can't see his hands. They're under Jesse Sapolo, but he's about to get the ball. It's like in baseball when he gets the ball. He's about to get the ball. It's his
about
team.
To get the ball. Yeah. And he's looking out over the defense. His mind is a calculator, and he's about to go to do it.
Definitely. So yeah, this is the beginning of the Steve Young era.
My media guides, huh?
And when I was a kid, I mean, you've always had them in the same spot in your office, in the same bookshelf. And it was fun to just go through the media guides and look at the different players or look at Joe Montana when he was 24 as opposed to 33. It's really interesting. Read the little facts about him.
And I'm going to tell you something else. In the early media guides that I showed you, there'll be a page about 49ers travel. Mm-hmm. And it'll list what hotel they're staying at on every city they visit and the phone number of the hotel. So remember, this is before cell phones. So if you wanted to talk to Joe Montana, you call the hotel and you say, could I have Joe Montana's room? And you get Joe Montana on the phone. Now, Joe might not have been happy about it. Iggy, the league does not do that anymore, right?
Absolutely not.
Yeah. Used to be, you knew. And not only that, it tells you when they check in. So I can know that after 3 o'clock, I can call Joe because it's right in the media guide.
Hello, front desk. Somebody. Yeah, put Joe Montana on the phone. Tell him it's Grant Cohn. Put him on the phone. Yeah.
He's doing the Jerky Boys. Get Brett Weir, I said.
Get Joe Montana, I said.
I don't need to talk to you.
Look, Jerky. Tell him it's Grant.
Hello, Grant, it's Joe. What can I do for you? Don't be angry at me, Grant.
That was a whole different time. Man, the league really respected media back then.
Absolutely.
It was like, hey, please cover us. Call us if you need to talk. Talk to the coach, please. Now it's like, get the hell away from our team. Your breath stinks. Here's some hot dogs. Get the hell away from us.
It's sort of like that, Iggy.
Yeah. Yeah. So you could get all kind of information in these media guides back then.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
You could learn what they majored in college. What do you think Kyle majored in at University of Texas?
Oh, God, I don't know.
Communications, right?
A lot of them do. I'm going to ask you, Iggy, have you ever met a player in any sport that you thought might have been an English major?
No. That's not a good use of time. It's a lot of reading. I don't think they have the time for it.
I'll tell a story. I may have told it before. It's in my book. I want to preface it. It's about Will Clark. And I love Will Clark. Will Clark and I are... I never like to use the word friends because we're different, but we're as close to friends as an athlete and a media.
You'd probably give him a hug if you saw him.
We saw it. We hug each other. We were there the same time. So anyway, he used to be pissed at me a lot because he was such a feisty guy, and he saw me as an antagonist. And they were at Candlestick. It was the day game, and I got there early, and I didn't feel like going in to the locker room, to the clubhouse to get a lot of stuff from them. So I was just sitting there. It was a beautiful day. The wind hadn't come up yet. And I was relaxing. There was a tunnel from the home clubhouse to the dugout. Here comes Will Clark, and he's carrying a bat. And, Lowell Cohn, he goes, Lowell Cohn, you think you're so fucking smart. And he's holding this bat. I'm thinking he could kill me. No one would know. And I said, you know, Will, I don't think I'm so smart. I really don't. And he's holding this bat. And I'm thinking the headline is first baseman kills columnists. You know what I mean? I had enough, Will said. And then he looks at me and I said, Will, I don't think I'm that smart. And he says, well, for what it's worth, when I was in college, I took Shakespeare and all that shit. And I thought, that there is the greatest quote anyone ever gave me. Will, I love you for that. Because even though I love Shakespeare, when you took required courses, it felt like a lot of shit that you had to do. And he was so honest about it. And I just laughed. And now when we see each other, he says, tell me the Shakespeare story, Lowell. Tell me the Shakespeare story.
When I was a sophomore at UCLA, I actually had to take a under division class on Shakespeare and all that shit. So I completely understand what he's talking about.
Yeah, maybe that's
all that shit. Is that Chaucer and Milton?
Yeah, Chaucer and Milton.
They kind of go under the umbrella of all that shit, but all Shakespeare, that shit. I like Pete's. That. Yeah.
All that shit.
All that shit. Game Time says, would like to see Pops do one presser with Kyle.
It's not fair. I would never do that. I went to one game last season. It was when they played Arizona. We saw Joshua Dobbs. And I saw some media people, some I was happy to see, some I wanted to get the vomit emoji when I saw them. But I told the PR guy, even though I had a credential, that it would not be fair for me to go down to the post-game conference in the auditorium with Kyle. He doesn't know me. I have no background there. It just wouldn't be fair. So I stayed up in the press box when everybody else went down.
Mark Silas says, a little off topic, Lowell, I know you lean more conservative than Grant. What are those political discussions like?
Actually, Iggy, don't you think we agree on most things?
A lot of things, not on everything. But I think our discussions, neither of us are really like entrenched in either political party or political philosophy. So I think we can actually have discussions without getting too upset about it. And actually hear the other person without necessarily needing to convert them.
We never raise our voice. It's always like we talk here. What do you think of this? What do you think of that? Iggy, did you see that debate with Biden? What did you think? I mean, that was one of the scariest things I ever saw in my life. So we did talk. And we even looked at it again a little on my computer to see.
And remember, my mom was much more liberal than my dad, and they were together for a long time and loved each other. So it's not a requirement in our house to have the exact same political views.
No, we were always very respectful and it never got heated.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's almost noon on the West Coast. I have a golf date with my 14-year-old nephew who is at tennis camp right now and starts at Bishop O'Dowd High School in about a month and a half. He called me. I'm the cool uncle now. I'm the cool uncle. He wanted to hang out with me. Been waiting for this. Really excited. It's going to be fun.
Iggy, I really enjoyed this show. I love you.
I love you too, Dad. I'll see you guys. I'll be back tomorrow. Or, yeah, then. See you.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.